No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Lee Vowell and Todd Vandenberg.
And welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast. The first part of this program is sponsored, as always, by Jim Jones Pudding. If you believe, you'll eat this pudding. I believe we actually will have an employee from Jim Jones Pudding later on in the... Hold on one second. Nope. We will not have an employee from Jim Jones Pudding on the program today. It seems like maybe they've backed out for whatever reason. Anyway, wow. But I mean, that happens all the time. It's crazy. But that's Todd, and we have Andrew Bailey back with us to break down the draft, or Andrew will do a good job of it. Todd and I will just kind of clumsily make our way through. But how are you doing, Andrew?
Oh, I'm doing Todd, great.
How dare you interrupt me when I'm trying to say hi to the guests? We've only done 10,000 podcasts together. This is ridiculous.
Oh, I'm pretty sure after the Jim Jones comments, this is our last
condiments?
Podcast.
So Jim Jones condiments. That would be awesome.
Condiments. Or, no, I won't go there. It's a family show.
Is that
show.
Ketchup?
Anyway.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yes, Andrew, how are you surviving this morning?
Yeah, it's great to be on here as always.
So every time we have Andrew on, almost immediately after I stop record on the podcast, I think I meant to ask him about the Mariners. So I'm just going to start with that this time before we get into the NFL draft. So the Mariners, it's funny because, you know, the Mariners started off poorly and then everybody panicked. And they're still not. I mean, they're still 500, right? But they're a half game out of first place in the so far awful AFC. AFC? What the heck am I saying? The AL West. But they've played a little bit. What, they're 7-3 over the last 10, I think. What are your thoughts on the very? I think we've entered, relatively speaking, the second game of an NFL season. This early in the Major League Baseball season. But what are your thoughts on how the Mariners have done so far this year?
Well, they just couldn't hit at the beginning of the season. That was their biggest issue. And they had a few ups and downs with some of their starters. They George Kirby and Luis Castillo had a couple not so good starts. But now every starter has gotten rolling, in particular Bryce Miller. He has really turned it on his last three games and has just given them ace-level stuff. And then the last, I think it's the last 8 or 9 games, their pitching has had almost every game has been a quality start.
Yeah, it's the last 10 games.
I think did Kirby go 6 yesterday? I thought he only went 5, but I wasn't sure. He went because they only gave up one run.
Yeah, are you talking about in the second game?
It was the first game actually. I think
first game was 1-1 That was the right call, by the way. I mean, it was weird because even. They didn't need to show the replay all that much to see that the fan had I think Dylan Moore would have caught the ball.
He
timed his jump. It looks like it was going to land right in his glove.
Yeah, it was a ball that could have been caught because the fan did reach over the fence. You could clearly see he reached over with the glove. I don't know if he would have caught it, but he definitely would have had a chance to catch it had the fan not interfered. So that's why they made the correct call and called the Jacob Stallings out. Unfortunate for the batter, though, because it could have been a home run. It would have been a walk-off. But I think, fortunately, we didn't have a Bartman situation because the Rockies ended up eventually winning the game in extras.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, Kirby, for some reason on Seattle Sports this morning, they were saying 10 straight. Kirby only went 5. I mean, he pitched well, but he only gave up 5.
Yeah, that's what they said on the Root Sports broadcast, too, I think. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's basically been, 8 or 9 quality starts in a row. So,
yeah, good enough.
Yeah, they've been rolling, yeah.
And Castillo, I don't know. He's, 1-4? To me, he's like, he's going to be like a version of Felix. He's going to go out there and pitch extremely well most of the time, and he's going to have an ERA that's like 2.5 every year, and his record's going to be like 11-13. It's like, it's always been that. It's so strange. I don't know why that is. I mean, I don't know. He just doesn't seem to win most of his starts.
I think some teams, like their hitters, like for whatever reason, they think, oh, we can kind of take an off day because, like, hey, because
they hate the pitcher. Is that what you're saying?
We have a great pitcher on the mound. He's probably going to give up like one run. Maybe we don't have to score that much today.
Luis Castillo is one of the hated Mariners on the team. They don't want to hit for him. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think that's the case.
That's how I'm interpreting it.
I mean, he's the rock, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
They've now come back with those funny commercials. They got rid of them for like a couple of years. They just went to hype videos. Now they've brought back the funny Mariners commercials this year. And one of them, Luis Castillo is like doing a Dwayne the Rock Johnson interpretation because his nickname
including
is
the flip flop. No, I'm just kidding. Little politics in there. So let's move on to the Seahawks. The NFL draft is on Thursday. So whatever day you're listening to this, it's not Thursday. And we have the first round Thursday, the second and third round on Friday, and then every other round, 4 through 7 on Saturday. So what we're going to do a little bit later on is each say what we think the Seahawks will do in the first 3 rounds. We won't go into like 20 minute details about every player. Hopefully, I probably jinx it, but you know, we'll just kind of take turns and say, hey, this is what I think the Seahawks will do in the first 3 rounds. But, before we get into the draft, let's talk a little bit about Pete Carroll, just because it's, for some reason, every article we write seems to blow up with him. So what were your thoughts on him hanging out? His son's the offensive coordinator, right, for the Huskies. But what did you think about watching Pete at Huskies practice, Andrew? And do you think that eventually they'll just fire the Suns and that Belichick will be the offensive coordinator, because Pete's going to coach defense no matter what, and then Pete can be the defensive coordinator by the end of the season?
It's really cool to see Pete Carroll in his element, running drills again, and being at Husky Stadium, showing up to practice. They had Bill Belichick in, like you said, I think a couple weeks ago or something like that. And I think it's just amazing that two sons of, you know, probably future Hall of Fame coaches are both there, and Brendan Carroll and is it Steve Belichick? I think that's his name.
Steven Belichick.
Yeah, Steve Belichick. So I think that's great for Pete Carroll. He can just now, you know, relax and watch his kid, you know, become a coach and show up from time to time, run some drills, talk to the team, give them, you know, kind of inspirational speeches every once in a while. I think that's great for him. Someday he'll probably – I feel like he's going to come back in some capacity. I know that Brock Huard joked about it, but maybe he could become commissioner of college football. Maybe that's what his role will be in the future. But I don't know.
Awesome, man. I mean, his job is to sell the sport. That seems like.
Yeah.
And then the other thing before we get into the draft, we're not letting Todd talk, I guess.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
But the other thing, we talked about this last week a little bit as far as quote unquote picture gate. Todd and I both think it's ridiculous, and that maybe it's just kind of the whole conversation is led by people, national talking heads like Richard Sherman has become, and Rich Eisen commented on it and others. But what do you think, Andrew, about picture gate? Do you think it's kind of overblown? Or are you personally offended they took pictures down?
I wasn't really. I didn't even know there were murals of that era.
One was of you. I don't know if you know that. No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
But
you know, one was me, and it was just a dartboard, and I was fine with that.
But yeah, so my take on it is, you know, I think the coach just wants to, you know, create his own legacy, and that's kind of the reasoning behind it, you know. And I know it's been a while since we've been, you know, really great and, you know, competing for Super Bowls and that kind of thing. I could see maybe the desire for a fresh start and that kind of thing. And some fans took it as, you know, took it as, it's like you're erasing history, or you're
Cam Chancellor watching took it
over there. It. And right. I could see how some people could see it that way, but it depends. I think it depends on how you interpret it. Some people think it's a bigger deal than other people do. To me, I think on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a really big deal and 1 being no deal at all, I'd say it's about a 3 for me. It's just kind of odd that happened, that they took down all the murals and the pictures and stuff. I mean, but I understand, you know, that's, you know, it's kind of like the whole out with the old, in with the new. But, you know, Someone I talked to about it was saying, you know, well, you know, Mike McDonald better back it up and win some games, or, you know, there's going to be some questions. But there's going to be questions no matter what. I think if, you know, Mike McDonald struggles, I mean, I don't think it's going to be because there were some pictures that were taken down, and that was kind of the start of the whole. I don't buy into that. That would have been that's the whole reasoning for why the team is going to struggle or succeed. I don't really see it exactly.
If this team like wins 5 games, the last thing anyone's going to be thinking about is like, oh, see, he should have taken the murals down. Really? That would they be your focus? And Schneider has already said they're revamping. They're going to put up digital displays, so they're going to have even more throwbacks to the past. And you're exactly right. I mean, to me, he's resetting the climate, not for his legacy, but for the team's legacy. He wants to move on from a team that missed the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years. Why are you looking back 10 years ago? What is that doing for this team? How many of you guys are on those teams? Like, I get that Chancellor and Sherman are kind of upset, but I guarantee you they haven't been to the facility since this happened either. And they haven't seen, oh, look, the trophies are still in the lobby. This was in one little area, and I have seen like maybe 2 actual comments from fans that are upset about it. Everything has been driven by national media, every single bit of it.
Of which Sherman is a part of, no?
Yeah, and it just seems like, and, you know, he kind of favors the Niners a little bit these days too. So, Rich, come on, come back to the light side. You know, it's just odd to me because I'm also a Dolphins fan, and –
what?
You know, a lot of times we have that, not as much as the Hawks, you know, a lot of times we have that mentality, oh, you know, they diss the West Coast, it's just the East Coast bias, blah, blah, blah. And there's some of that, but, and it's hard to be objective about this, but I guarantee you there isn't nearly the amount of crap that's talked about the Dolphins as there is about the Hawks. And the Dolphins have been wildly unsuccessful for much longer than the Seahawks. You know, they've only recently come out of the wilderness and actually managed to be a reputable team. I mean, for decades, they might as well have been the Cleveland Browns just in Florida. And now it's like, okay, now they're decent. But it just seems like they always have to have some crap to say about the Hawks. And it's just
the thing that would have, sorry to interrupt you, the thing that would have bothered me about being a Dolphins fan, and I'm not making it, is that they never went through almost like the Seahawks in the 90s. They were, except for 1 or 2 years, they were never atrocious. They were in the worst part of the NFL. They were like you said, mediocre. So it was they weren't bad enough to get really high picks, and they weren't good enough to make the playoffs. They were just stuck.
Yeah, they're in purgatory for decades, literally for decades. You know, and now they're finally coming out of it, and that's a tough climb. And I think that's exactly why they made the move in Seattle, because they could say, oh, okay, 9-8's okay, but is that what you really want? Do you really want is missing the playoffs 2 out of 3 years okay? It's like, it's not. You know, maybe for some franchises, well, obviously for some franchises it is, because they're more than happy to, you know, cash those checks from the TV contracts and Amazon and whatever's next, right? And keep on, you know, rolling in the dough. They don't care if they go 4-13. They literally don't care. It's obvious because they do it year after year after year.
Yeah.
And Jody Allen made it clear that's not good enough. And as much as I love Pete Carroll, I'm glad that she – it had to be a hard decision, right? Because I wasn't really happy with it, but I saw that it was necessary. And for people to be stirred up, whoever is stirred up about it that's actually a fan of the 12s, which fans of the 12s, that's about bizarre, fan of the Hawks, I think they're just so focused on, man, this sucks that they got rid of Pete. But it was just – unfortunately, it was just time to move on from Pete. And like we've said – it's because Pete was too loyal to the people he should not have been loyal to. I mean, that's one of his absolute strengths, but it's also turned out to be his biggest weakness. It's like he hung on to coaches they shouldn't have hung on to.
And one thing that about Picturegate too, and I've since last podcast, I've actually written about this several times in different articles that Todd had a really great point about, is that people are saying, oh, Mike McDonald's doing blah, blah, blah. But as Todd said, and as actually true, McDonald doesn't do anything without John Schneider saying he's okay with it.
Absolutely. It's like McDonald's in charge of what happens on the field. And he's not even in charge of the players that step onto the field. It's like, does anybody really think this is Mike McDonald doing?
Some people may have said,
this is what I want. It's like, I guarantee you that's what was his idea. But there's no way in hell he said, oh, let's paint those over. And Schneider walks in and he goes, surprise! It's like,
yeah, exactly.
John looks at it and it's like, guess what's going back up? It's like, come on, man. This is John Schneider approving this.
And they are going back up on digital video boards.
Exactly. So the whole thing, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that Sherman and Cam are both like, man, this sucks. But again, I guarantee you they haven't stepped into the facility and seen that that's the one little place that they made a change. And like you said, Andrew, it's like they want to establish a new legacy, and they should.
Yeah.
If I'm taking a new job on, I don't want to see photos when I walk to my desk of this guy was the salesman of the month every damn month for 15 years. It's like, dude, I want to have a chance to prove myself. Why are you reminding me about this crap? Keep that crap in the lobby. I don't need to see it when I get to work. I don't want to see a picture of him on my freaking desk. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's just
so much crap over nothing. Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
And Sherman's honestly. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say Sherman honestly is making the easy and lazy argument to be contrarian to what actually happened. It would be he feels the need to have his name out there, and maybe because of his show and stuff like that makes sense, I guess. Yeah. But the harder argument is to agree with the move that he's not going to, because that doesn't make news. Disagreeing does.
So seems to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they had taken down everything and taken out the Super Bowl trophy, you know, and it's like, okay, now that's kind of stupid. You know, if they petitioned the NFL, it's like, yeah, I know it says that we won the league championship, but can we kind of take that out? Because I don't like being reminded of the standards. That would be news, right? But that's not what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
That is not what happened at all.
Yeah, it just went crazy when nobody in Seattle was really talking about it. It wasn't until national talking heads started talking about it, and everybody was like, what? Hold on, what's going on? It's just crazy. It was ridiculous. And it may have been Todd, it may have been Andrea. I apologize. But we talked about the mediocrity and being stuck. And one thing you can't do if you want to get out of the mediocrity that Seattle has been in the last few years is to miss on your draft pick. So at this point, we will go ahead and we'll start with Andrew.
That was smooth.
Yeah, I'm not completely done. I can still flub it up. But we'll start with Andrew. And Andrew, you can do this however you want. You can have, oh yeah, I think they'll make a trade or whatever. But of the first three rounds, instead of going into day three where the Seahawks have 18 picks, what would you do if you were John Schneider over the first three rounds of the Seahawks 2024 NFL draft?
Well, if I were John Schneider, if Troy Fitano's not there at pick number 16, I'd probably trade that back a little bit. Not too far. Wouldn't go all the way to the end. I mean, you could go all the way down to 32 it and trade with the Chiefs. But I think that I would trade probably in between pick 16 and pick 32. I would probably trade into the middle of that, because you could probably still get either Graham Barton or Jackson Powers, or whoever that guy is from Oregon. Jackson Powers, the center from them, with that first pick. I think after that, I would pretty much go with a lot of defense. After that, I would go and get a linebacker like Edgerrin Cooper or Junior Colson. I would take probably a defensive lineman, possibly as well, like Chris Jenkins or Devondre Sweat. And then you got to look at safeties as well, like Javon Bullard, Jaden Hicks, those kind of players, because we just need more depth, I believe, at linebacker and safety. I don't know if we need to address the defensive line as much, because we've done so much to address that position in the last couple drafts and free agencies and through trades. But we definitely need to add more to the interior of our offensive line. We need to get a couple linebackers. We need safeties. Probably need to also add a tight end if possible as well.
What about you, Todd Schneider?
Todd Schneider says, I'm moving back to the second round. You know, unless something bizarre happens, like some of might have done like 18,000 mock drafts, it feels like, and written seven. But, and a couple times got really lucky, like something stupid would happen and one of the top players would fall back at 16. But typically I'm moving back to this completely out of the first round and just building that draft capital for the second. Like one of the mocks, I'm just going to be lazy and talk about one of the mocks I did. And it's like I pulled up Braden Fisk out of Florida State and Edgerrin Cooper and Tavondre Sweat, right? All jumping back and they enable me because they have so many needs. And the thing is like a lot of people focus, present company excludedly, as especially a lot of 12 seem to focus on the draft as like, oh, this is what we need this year. It's like, y'all know, it's like we don't have these players under eternal contracts, right? Like we're losing a lot of players next year. And you really don't want rookies stepping into those roles. Like you mentioned linebackers, right? It's like both linebackers, one-year contracts. Odds are they're going to re-sign one of them, if not both. But we don't even know for a fact if they'll be worth starting this year. I happen to think they'll both be really good, but wouldn't be the first time I was wrong. You know, we could be desperate for linebackers in October.
Yeah.
You know, and to think that it's like, oh, you know, we're set. It's like, we're not really set anywhere. Cornerback, you know, yeah, we're really great, except like we got several guys leaving. Wide receiver, it's like that room is set, except there's no way in hell we're keeping Tyler Lockett next year, unfortunately. he's got a $30 million cap hit next year. And at some point, he's going to stop renegotiating. So now you need a third wide receiver. It's like, and you don't want to wait, you know, you don't want a rookie wide receiver stepping in. So they have needs everywhere. I mean, that's why they're 9-8. 2 years in a row. That's why they've missed the playoffs two out of the last 3 years. They have a lot of holes to fill. So, you know, if again, at 16, they get extremely lucky and one of the top players is still sitting there for, like, no good reason, which happens every year, right? I mean, we know that happens every single year. Like, damn, I can't believe this. But Joe Alt, he's there. Like, do we really need a tackle? No. But if Joe Alt's there, we need Joe Alt. You know, it's like without a doubt. You know, I mean,
that's true. Bowers, I mean, Schneider's gonna take the best player available. So that's a good
exactly.
point.
Exactly. He said that over and over. And he said he didn't even look to fill positions until like maybe even the sixth round. You know, it's like he's going to take the best player available. And is Joe Wall, of course, he might not work out because also happens every season, right? But if Joe Wall plays close to as well as he's projected, he's an upgrade at either side at tackle.
Yeah, I think you would start him at right tackle and absolutely be your backup to Cross, and then Lucas would back up Alt.
Yeah, absolutely. So if something like that happens, yeah. But if, you know, he's still looking, you know, even if it's Fuatano, who it's like everyone's like projecting, virtually everyone's projecting the Hawks take him at 16, is like, if that's what they get at 16, I'm dropping back. Because you can get players almost that good, but you can get another player who's close to that level, and they need a lot of players. They're not like that guy away from the Super Bowl. They're that guy.
Yeah, true.
So I'm moving back.
Couple of things I noticed. You didn't mention immigration or inflation at all, so I'm not really sure what your plan is.
I'm moving said, again.
Something you said reminded me of a Bengals song. I'm not sure what happened. As far as Lockett.
Did you say Bengals song or Bengals?
Bengals. She's aged well, by the way. And Tyler
Lockett. She looks good with the all black design and the stripes. It's really good, really good.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Really good.
You said she was an L7?
Yeah.
So, and Tyler Lockett, I don't know Tyler Lockett, obviously. I've driven by Tulsa, Oklahoma, if that helps. But I feel like he reworked his deal with the intention of thinking this is going to be my last year, because he's still going to get paid $13 million. Release him, whatever. They say the team saves $17 million. But you don't really rework a deal losing a guaranteed $4 million without thinking, this is probably it. And why not? I mean, he's got other stuff, as we've mentioned before on the podcast, he's got other stuff, better Tons stuff of- for human humanity that he could be doing, that he will be doing instead of playing football. So that's just my guess. As far as my drift, I actually have Seattle trading with the Packers. So they move to pick number 25 and they pick up 41. So with pick 25, I think Seattle picks Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. He's more of a true center, which works, actually, I think, this year, because no offense to Olu, but we still don't know how well he's going to work. Jackson Powers Johnson is an upgrade over probably half the centers in the NFL already. But if you have Tomlinson and then Powers Johnson and then leave right guard just open for now, like nobody plays it, that'd probably be an upgrade too. And then at number 41, I have, you guys both mentioned Edgerrin Cooper. I think they get Cooper because I think he's a perfect fit in Mike McDonald's system because he covers so well, which is exactly what they need. And then Andrew mentioned Devondre Sweat, and I think even with his DWI, which makes him probably drop a little bit, I think in the third round, that's who Seattle takes because they need a run stopper. And he obviously has issues with self-control. He was arrested for DWI. I'm not making any kind of comment on people drinking. I mean, I'm drinking currently an Austin East Cider's Gold Imperial Cider. And Todd has something from, he only drinks Canadian beer, I think, now. But I'm not driving at this point. That would be dangerous on the podcast.
Well,
but
he also, this was a German beer, and I finished it already. Piker.
It's Canadian German, right? Which is like what?
It's from Munich. Oh, Munich, Ontario. My bad.
That's funny. But yeah, I think that's what they would do. I mean, it addresses the issue, as Todd mentioned, at linebacker. Cooper coming in and starting right away wouldn't necessarily be needed because you have to see if Baker and Dodson actually work out.
Right.
Powers Johnson's immediate starter. And then Sweat, who DWI, and he also has issues with staying in shape. He wouldn't have to be a three down player anyway. He would just play on the early downs. Mm-hmm. With Leonard Williams next to him saying, you need to work harder, kind of thing. Because I think that's the kind of leadership that would work and do well with him.
Yeah, and then you wrote about Hankins. Hankins is a nice pickup, but
I did.
He's been a run stopper, but he
I don't remember what I write, to be honest.
But he hasn't been a run stopper in the past few years. I mean, he's been okay, but he's not been great. And Sweat would be a major upgrade there. I mean, talk about a space eater. Oh, God. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he could stop Godzilla, at least for, you know, a few precious seconds to open that slot. And, oh, there goes Kenneth Walker.
You know, Godzilla actually dropped in the draft because of the short arms. Did you know that? It got all the skill set to be a first rounder, but those short arms. I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah. It's like 22 inches. It's bizarre.
Where I think King Kong would probably go really high in the draft, right? I mean, higher than Godzilla.
Well, yeah. I mean, man, he's got that crazy spin move that he has. It's amazing. Yeah.
Plus, I mean, Godzilla's a dinosaur, right? So it's like,
True. You know, what'd be really cool is like to watch King Kong go all Donkey Kong. It's like, yeah, do that roll, jump up, boom.
That movie's done really well, surprisingly. I mean, I guess it's not surprising. People go to those kind of things, but
nah, it's a fun popcorn movie. But yeah,
you have seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's a fun popcorn movie.
What's the last movie you saw, Andrew?
I love Godzilla movies, but yeah.
Last movie I saw was Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good choice.
Oh, Mr. Let's have a downbeat, serious moment.
That's right.
Stupid guy talking about lizards and monkeys fighting each other. I saw Oppenheimer. You suck.
Andrew's like, I've seen two movies in my life, Oppenheimer and Ironweed. Those are the only two.
There's a fine double feature for you.
And one Ironweed one was a musical. So
John Waters' version of Ironweed.
He's making a new movie, John Waters. I'm trying to remember some well-known actress is going to be in it. Is it Emma Stone? I think Emma Stone's going to be in it. Yeah, I'm not making that up. That's true.
I think it's Godzilla, actually.
He would be awesome. Flamingo 2 with Flamingo versus Godzilla. That's awesome.
Big flamingos versus Godzilla. Well, Godzilla does have that new pink energy thing going on, so it fits.
Is that true? I don't think that's true. Yeah. That's true of me saying he's a dinosaur.
That's kind of a pinkish energy wave instead of the blue that he typically has. Yeah, it's true.
I saw one of the things that was trending on Twitter, as Andrew, as you've realized, we have not gone off the rails and there's no way of getting it back. This is what we always do. Something that was trending on Twitter earlier was Pink Moon, which I'm sure was not a Nick Drake reference. But, I mean, it could have been. Today is Jack Nicholson's birthday, by the way.
So, oh, there you go. And is that the woke version of that citrusy lovely lager? The Blue Moon, is that what it is? Pink Moon?
I don't know, but Pink Moon is a period of depression. So I'm not really sure why it's trending.
Grapefruit instead of oranges? That makes me sad to hear that.
Blood Orange Moon. Well, Nick Drake was depressed, obviously.
Makes me very sad to hear that.
You know, anyway.
Drake may won't be when the Seahawks surprisingly trade up to number two and take him.
maybe that's why Pink Moon is trending. People are confusing Drake May with Nick Drake. And then Drake has is like, how did I get involved in this? Go Raptors. So
go Raptors to the back of the line.
That's right.
Man, Toronto is struggling in sports.
Are the Blue Jays suffering right now?
They're doing all right. Blue Jays are they're okay.
They're doing all right, but the Leafs got crushed. I have to laugh. I got this ad this morning. This morning is like on the path to the Stanley Cup. It's like he lost 5-1. It's like read the room. Read the room, Ticketmaster. It's like no one's buying a ticket. If
you That's the Sherman way of handling things. You're contrarian again, you know.
Mm. Man.
That's exactly why after the Marchand didn't get the ball, the next day we got all those, hey, re-up your season tickets now. It's like, oh. Yeah. Only 25% higher.
Yeah, exactly.
So what the hell were we talking about? Oh, the draft. So, yeah, but anyway, it'll be where are you going to watch it from, Andrew? Are you going to watch it from the VMAC? Nobody knows you're in the building or anything, but are you watching it with family and friends? Oh, that reminds me. Sorry to interrupt your answer. Faltano gave the best answer and actually wrote an article about this. Did you hear him, Andrew, on Seattle Sports last week? He did like an interview with Brock and Salk.
I need to see that interview. I haven't seen it yet, but yes.
He is amazing. Like if you didn't want to get this guy at pick 16, like after you hear him talk, it's like, can I get this guy at number one? But he talks about he got an invite to the NFL draft. And I guess this sounds ridiculous, I know, but each player can bring a maximum of 15 people. So you can have 15 people there with you. Yeah. Will Levis clearly had two, as we all saw. But you can have up to, sorry for the Will Levis joke, but I felt bad for the guy. But you can have up to 15 people there with you. But Faltano was like, no, I'm not coming because I want to be just with my family. There's more than 15. We're Polynesian. That's what he said. I'm not saying that. Yeah. We're Polynesian, so we have a big family. I'd rather be watching it with my family than hanging out with only 15 people. I thought that was just a fantastic answer. And it is weird to me. There's, 13 players this year going to the draft? It seems like more and more each year that goes by, the players are like, nah, I don't really want to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't either. We don't have a situation like we
exactly.
had
last. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly correct. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be that guy.
Yeah, but you know, it's like I would love
just
to just
say
sit
Pacino
there.
To me.
I would love to just sit there. I would love to sit there and not hear my name for 3 days. I wouldn't even leave the room. I'd just sit there and sit there, and I would have my cell phone waiting for that call as an undrafted free agent. And I would be looking at that phone. I'd be there next week looking at that phone. I'd get an Airbnb
and for some reason
inside.
You have Will Ferrell next to you most of the time. And it wasn't like, what's going on? Who is this guy? And then they realize you're not even like draft eligible. It's like, Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore are close by.
No. That brings up such horrible memories of
Fever Pitch 2.
Yeah. And Fox missing a play during the World Series while they're hyping. Their horrible reboot of Fever Pitch. It's like,
that's right.
Oh God.
Andrew, did I allow you to answer? Where are you watching the draft from?
I'll probably be watching at home. I'll probably be watching them with friends or family, something like that. Cool. I always, pay close attention to like kind of what the reactions are and everything on social media. Sometimes I like to gauge, what fans or the local media are saying about it. And so it's kind of interesting to hear what everyone's take is on it. And the only thing that's kind of disappointing this year is we won't get Pete Carroll's little hints about the draft picks. Those were usually really, really yeah. cool. Those were classic.
That's right.
I would have missed that this year.
I think there's some Easter eggs about what the Seahawks will do in the draft on the Tortured Poets Department. I'm pretty sure. Some.
I don't realize, though, is because there's some slight resemblance between Mike McDonald and Mark Ruffalo. So, I mean, you look at it, really, he's kind of a hybrid between him and Spider-Man.
Does that mean I look like Mike McDonald, though?
No, not at all. You look more like the Mike McDonald who's, like, almost dead.
The reason I say that, Andrew, is I don't know how many times in my life I've, even at an airport, somebody getting out of their car.
All the time.
Yeah, getting out of their car, who I didn't know these people, but I'm waiting to pick somebody up at the airport. They get out of their car, the car behind me, and they're like, are you Mark Ruffalo? And I'm like, no, I'm not Mark Ruffalo, but I get that one a lot.
Well, Lee, I've never told Lee this, but when we first met, I was managing a bookstore, and he came in just to pick up a paper application. And I looked at the dude, and I thought, holy crap, I could hire Mark Ruffalo.
That's right.
This is such a win. But he is actually going to tell everybody, announce before the day before the draft, because the script is already in, right? He's going to tell everybody exactly who they're going to pick throughout the draft, because he can't help himself. That's just how he's going to be.
Have we heard who the guest pickers are going to be?
Is he if they get the pick wrong, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God.
Mahershala Ali is like, what the F? Have we heard who the guest pickers are going to be?
I haven't seen anything about it.
I haven't heard anything about that yet. They'll probably announce it like later this week, probably Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. Because it's like, usually it's day two, right? When they start doing that.
Yeah, that's correct.
It doesn't come out there anymore.
Day two last year, Todd knows this, but day two last year, I did my best Jim Valvano imitation, because I my whole family, we are huge fans of Letterkenny. Huge. So I'm watching the draft, and my family, of course, is no longer watching the draft. Why are they going to be stuck watching that? But Tyler Johnston came out to, and I was just like, oh, I literally probably look like Jim Valvano. I'm running around, like, trying to get my family, and they're like, oh, come here, come here, come here, come here. They're like, what's going on? I'm like, Tyler Johnston's making the pick. It was surreal. I was like, am I actually watching what I'm watching? This is crazy. One of the skids is actually announcing the Seahawks pick.
Here's the big shock, and I know no one expects this, but Pete Carroll will be announcing every pick.
That would be awesome. For every team.
That's his job. That's his advisory capacity.
He's like, before this team chose this pick, I advised them to. People boo. Boo. So, anyway.
Well,
we were going to show their picture, but we took it down.
What's that? Camp Chancellor in there to announce the guest picks after last week. After all that last week,
bring some of the players there. You're correct on that, though. The players, foreign players.
You bring Richard Sherman back out there just for some laughs, you know.
Well, they should bring Quandre Diggs. Quandre Diggs should make a. Of course, he hasn't retired.
Would be awesome. Yeah.
Just because he played for the Lions, you know.
Quandre Diggs.
You gotta bring Marshawn in there. Yeah, I mean, did you see the expansion draft when the Kraken were coming in and he was saying Cal Yarncroke's name? It was hilarious. Your boy Cali. It was funny.
Wasn't Marshawn he wasn't at a Maple Leafs game, was he? He was at a hockey game the other day.
Yeah, he was at a hockey game the other day.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Kraken either. It was
no, it wasn't which Kraken.
He's very
Kraken,
small
no,
part
of it. He did not make it this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just mean he's a very small part owner, but it was somewhere odd, wasn't it? He was
Vancouver,
just like
I think. No,
I
Winnipeg.
Don't even think it was Vancouver. Yeah, it was Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
And it was like, of all the places, why is he in Winnipeg?
That's the only ticket he could get. He's watching his budget.
That's how much
watch that
tickets are.
Gotta watch that cheddar, man.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so Andrew, I think we're going to let you go at this point, but I really appreciate you being on. And I think you have picks 4 and 8. I'm assuming there's going to be an 8.
There'll be an 8th. I know he'll make a trade. He's got to make a trade, right? I mean, it's going to happen. Yeah.
There could be a 4 on day 2.
It's going to be real interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Todd and I joked last podcast about things seem easy. 1 and then, you know, pick 2 is in round 3, and what'll probably end up happening is all kinds of chaos, and the picks are like, you know, 3 apart, and we're trying to get these recaps, because basically, ideally, we try to get our reaction pieces, and you can shell pieces. Do you know what shelling an article is, Andrew? Basically, you write, so I would write a Troy Faltano article now, in anticipation that the Seahawks choose him at 16, and if they don't, fine, but if they do, I've got the article ready. So it's called shelling articles, but you could do that with a bunch, but that's
write up a whole bunch of possible ones and then delete them if they just don't
you don't know how many times I do that with tennis finals. It's like, okay, I've got 2 because something's going to change in the third set here. And I just delete one, but yeah, I mean, I think we might end up with pick number 4 in the third round at this point. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But we try to get the articles for those listening. if you're going to read 12thmanrising.com, we try to get the articles up in 15 or 20 minutes after the pick is made, because otherwise, who knows if they've traded and then another pick is coming up and it's starting to run into picks. That happened one year, a few years ago. It was god awful. I think we had three or four and 15 picks or something. It was like, this is just chaos. But anyway, so we'll have recaps up on 12th Man Rising immediately after picks are made. Unless, as they do my prediction last week, they completely trade out of the draft and then we don't have any articles to write at all.
Yeah, that must have been kind of rough, that 2021 year where we had four picks or something that year. That must have been kind of tough.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember how we did it. I think Todd had two of them. I had one. Yeah. It was just the way we did it.
Yeah, the one year they had three picks. And then there was the year that Schneider made nine trades. It was like, thanks, John.
Yeah.
Bro, what are you doing?
It's our seventh or eighth draft, and it's just like, one year it was easy. Yeah, three picks. So anyway, I appreciate you being on, Andrew, and we'll have you on again soon then, okay?
Yeah, thanks again, guys, for having me on. I always love talking Seahawks with you guys. It's fun. Yeah,
absolutely.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, cut him off. So anyway, yeah. He didn't sound too excited at the end, though, did he? I was like, thanks for being on. He was like, yeah, I've never been on this shit again. So gotta be a better podcast out there somewhere.
Well, we know there is.
There's plenty.
We've never been on them. That's why they're better.
That's right. They're like, why? Oh, that reminds me. I have something to tell you post show for those.
Post show. Well, I'll stay tuned. Post
show. In fact, it's so important. I'm going to end the show. So everyone, thanks for listening. 12thmanrising.com for all your draft coverage. Ha!
Why are you the worst?
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.